There is one group of Americans missing from the Winter Olympics in Beijing. No, we're not talking about the NHL hockey players. We're talking U.S. government officials. The U.S. and a few other countries are conducting what is called a diplomatic boycott. They're criticizing what White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki called China's genocide and crimes against humanity in Western China. Now, this is not the first boycott of the Games. There is quite a history, and we have the guy to tell it. Jules Boykoff played on the U.S. men's national soccer team and is now a professor of politics at Pacific University in Oregon. His book is Power Games, A Political History of the Olympics. Jules Boykoff, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Scott.
So, months ago, Washington said it's going to send its athletes, but not its diplomats, to Beijing. And now I haven't heard anyone in my circles mention this diplomatic boycott at all. Is it having, in your view, any impact?
Well, it's interesting because the Biden administration's choice to engage in a diplomatic boycott was meant to throw a spotlight on the human rights violations that are happening in China as we speak, in Xinjiang province with Uyghur Muslims, ongoing repression of Tibetans, as well as the suppression of dissent in Hong Kong from freedom activists there and democracy activists. And it's been interesting to me to see how few countries have jumped on with Biden's diplomatic boycott. And I think that indicates a couple things. You know, one is the rising power of China and countries not really wanting to cross China in this moment. And I also think it's fair to say the relative declining power of the United States. I don't think it's going too far to say that the United States is a democracy on a ventilator. Certainly, polling in the United States definitely shows that people here are very concerned about the state of democracy. So is it having its effect? Well, there's a lot of people talking about human rights right now vis-a-vis the Olympic Games. So there's that.
Well, and as you're describing geopolitically, China is getting the global image that it craves of being a leader and hosting these high-profile Olympic Games. In a recent article, you quoted a China researcher at Human Rights Watch who said, "There are so many human rights issues, and each should warrant the Games not being awarded to Beijing in the first place." So in your view, is the International Olympic Committee part of the issue, part of what you see as the problem here, awarding it to China in the first place?
Absolutely. The International Olympic Committee committed the original sin here. They handed the Olympics to a known human rights abuser. And they did so even though they have these lofty principles inside of their Olympic charter that they run by, such as preserving and promoting the dignity of everyday people. They even mention human rights at one point in their Olympic charter. And so if they take their own charter seriously, no, they should not have handed these Olympics to China. No question about it. There are crimes against humanity happening right now as we speak inside of the host country for the Olympic Games. And so that's serious. And it definitely points to some hypocrisy on the part of the International Olympic Committee.
Okay, let's talk about some history. You are writing a book now on the Berlin Summer Games of 1936. Of course, Hitler had seized power, and many groups in the United States were calling for skipping the Games over the persecution of Jews. In the end, the American athletes went, including Jesse Owens. He was the star of those Games. In your view, was that a missed opportunity because the U.S. almost boycotted those Games?
There's no question that allowing Hitler to host those Olympics did provide him with a stage to look legitimate and important. And that certainly helped him inside of Germany, where he looked incredibly powerful, and he used those Olympics to gain ever more support inside of the country for the things, the horrible things that he was to do in the wake of the Games. In retrospect, like you said, Scott, these were Olympics that basically shattered Hitler's Aryan supremacy theories to bits because African-American successful athletes like Jesse Owens did so well there.
Okay, let's jump forward to 1980 in Moscow when the U.S. did boycott those after the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan. Here's then President Jimmy Carter.
"The American people are convinced that we should not go to the Summer Olympics. The Congress has voted overwhelmingly, almost unanimously, which is a very rare thing, that we will not go. And I can tell you that many of our major allies, particularly those democratic countries who believe in freedom, will not go."
So in the end, what do you think the impact was of the American 1980 boycott?
Well, it certainly didn't change the course of the Soviet Union, but it did allow Carter to argue that he was taking a hard line against communism. After all, that happened right in the middle of the Cold War, where anti-communism was rampant across the United States. Now, it didn't do him very well in the next election, that's for sure. He ended up losing to Ronald Reagan. But he also created a bunch of athletes who were quite upset by missing those Olympics, Olympians with asterisks behind their names, who qualified but weren't able to participate because of the Carter-created boycott. And those athletes have been incredibly vociferous in the wake of that. And I think, actually, they had a pretty significant influence even on what we're seeing today around China, in the sense that the Biden administration was surely aware of that when it opted for this sort of middle ground where they do a diplomatic boycott instead of a full-on athlete boycott. And so I think even the ghosts of Moscow from 1980 are affecting us today in that sense.
Well, as you remember, the Soviet Union, not to be outdone, 4 years later, responds with its own boycott of 1984, the Games in Los Angeles. Political tit for tat, it sure seems. You know, tell us about that moment and what you draw from that.
Sure. So all these Eastern Bloc nations that were allied with the Soviets, they joined this boycott. And nevertheless, it was at that point still the largest Olympics on record. 140 nations competed in the Los Angeles Games. But it didn't include some of the best athletes of the world from the Soviet Union and other countries inside of the Eastern Bloc.
Now, China is no stranger to Olympics boycotts, it turns out. China boycotted the Summer Olympics for almost three decades, from the 50s up to 1980, over questions of Taiwan's participation, a political question. What do you make of that, given how now Beijing says, oh, this should be politics free?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. The People's Republic of China withdrew from the Melbourne Games in 1956 as part of a continued battle that it was having with the International Olympic Committee over the recognition of Taiwan. The dispute dated back to 1949, when the Chinese communists ascended to power and the nationalists fled to Taipei. And the Soviet Union was keen to bring China into the Olympic fold, and they tried to get them to go to the 1952 Helsinki Olympics. And what happened with those games in Helsinki was the International Olympic Committee did a faux pas, and they issued invitations to those games to both Beijing and Taipei.
Really?
On the day before the Helsinki Games commenced, thereby giving rise to what everybody today calls the Two China Olympic problem. And ever since then, there's been this back and forth with Taiwan and the People's Republic of China, and trying to gain recognition as being called China from the International Olympic Committee. So it's been a real headache for the IOC, this so-called Two China question, for a long time. And I think you could argue that it goes all the way through today, when Taiwan did not want to attend the opening ceremony because of how it felt like it was being respected or not respected by the International Olympic Committee. And so these roots go very deep in terms of the relationship between China and boycotts and pulling out of the games over political matters. And it sure sounds a lot different than what they're approaching it today, where they're saying that political neutrality must be honored and that we shouldn't bring any politics into the games.
So is there, going forward, do you think, a compelling argument that can be made for Olympic boycotts, kind of athlete boycotts going forward? Or is that time past?
The only kind of athlete boycott that I could really get behind is if athletes were actually in the driver's seat and making that decision. The International Olympic Committee has acted in ways that really benefit its own bottom line. It tends to engage in self-aggrandizement and masquerading it as social concern. And we're seeing that in Technicolor here in Beijing. There are a lot of athletes kind of talking and looking at each other saying, we could certainly do better, or at least we couldn't do much worse at this point.
Jules Boykoff is a former professional soccer player and current professor at Pacific University in Oregon. And his book coming out before long is on the 1936 Games in Berlin. Thank you so much for the time.
Thank you, Scott.